You are listening to local and regional news produced by KMUN with help from our news partners. I'm Skylar Butenchin. It's Thursday, September 18th. As the flu and COVID season approaches, health providers in the small community of Jewell, Oregon, are finding their access to COVID vaccines abruptly cut off. The Jewell Blue Jay Health Center, which is located in Jewell School, is one of five school-based health centers in the state operated by the nonprofit Columbia Health Services. The nonprofit's director, Sherry Ford, says that at the start of September, a program's wait list that qualified children at Jewell School to get COVID vaccinations suddenly disappeared. That program, called Vaccines for Children, provides recommended vaccines at no cost to eligible children, including those who are uninsured, underinsured, Medicaid eligible, or American Indian, Alaska Native. Ford says she does not know why the COVID vaccine is no longer available through the Vaccines for Children program, but the state does follow federal CDC guidelines on vaccines. Earlier in May, the CDC, headed by Robert F. Kennedy Jr., announced it would no longer be recommending COVID vaccines for healthy children. The Oregon Health Authority says Vaccines for Children providers cannot currently order COVID-19 vaccines due to pending federal guidance, but it hopes to open ordering as soon as possible after the CDC makes this year's vaccine available. The recent inability of Columbia Health Services to provide COVID vaccines to children means that students of Jewell School who want to be vaccinated against the virus must travel nearly an hour to the coast. This story comes to us through a news partnership with The Astorian, online at dailyastorian.com. Oregon's Employment Relations Board reprimanded the University of Oregon this month over the school's past treatment of its student workers' union. The board ruled that UO acted unlawfully when it asked employees to remove union pins and not to discuss labor organizing on the clock. UO also reportedly blocked signature gathering in residence halls, stopped a union organizer from presenting in class, and told resident assistants that they could lose out on a raise based on the outcome of the union's campaign. UO Student Workers Interim President May Bracelin says these incidents were early in the union's formation.
Most of these issues have since that time ceased as the university has pulled itself together on understanding that UO student workers are local, is a union, isn't going anywhere, can't be pushed around.
The board didn't issue any fines against the university. UO did not immediately respond to a request for comment. The public comment period for rescinding the roadless rule ends this week. Jefferson Public Radio's Justin Higginbottom went on a flight above federal forest land along the Oregon-California border that could be affected.
This summer, the U.S. Secretary of Agriculture announced plans to roll back the Clinton-era rule. It bans road building and logging on tens of millions of acres of federal forest land. The conservation group EcoFlight took passengers this week on routes over national forest land that could be affected by the change. Flying south from Medford, Haley Martin with KS Wild pointed to forests along the Siskiyou Crest.
What we're seeing here is, it's just really amazing for us and our recreation abilities for wildlife and the habitat they have, the space they have to roam for their species survival.
Supporters of the rollback say more roads will help firefighters and bring economic opportunities through logging. Public comment period for the rule change ends September 20th. I'm Justin Higginbottom in Ashland.
A tiny powerhouse of the ocean appears to be less resilient in the face of rising temperatures than previously thought. Researchers at the University of Washington have published new findings about a single-celled microbe that's at the very base of the marine food web. KNKX environment reporter Bellamy Palethorpe has the story.
Prochlorococcus is the smallest and most abundant photosynthesizing organism in the ocean. Researchers say its health could affect everything from the tiniest fish to the largest whales. It thrives in the tropics. Till now, scientists had studied it mostly in labs. But when UW oceanographers tracked the microbe at sea with new instruments, they found it dies off if the water gets hotter than 86 degrees. François Ribollet is the lead author of the new study.
We didn't know that we would find stressed Prochlorococcus in warm waters. They have been in these warm waters for hundreds, millions of years. And so it was quite a shock.
Their computer models estimate anywhere from 20 to 50% of the global population of Prochlorococcus could die off because of global warming. I'm Bellamy Palethorpe reporting.
September is National Suicide Prevention Awareness Month. NWPB's Rachel Sun spoke with experts about what to do if you or someone you know is struggling. A warning, this story contains mentions of suicide.
1.5 million people in the United States attempted suicide in 2023. That's according to data from the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. Dr. Andrea Charles, a therapist and founder at Dragonfly Counseling in Clarkston, Washington, says suicide occurs at a higher rate in rural communities. Part of that is due to a lack of resources, and part of it is because of a cultural stigma around talking about mental health.
The mentality of farmers in rural areas is what happens at home stays at home. We don't talk about it outside the house.
Charles says her community has been hit by several suicides over the past few years, including young people and teenagers. And that group can be uniquely vulnerable.
They think that everything is happening, that it's happening right now, and that it's the end of the world, and this is how it's always going to be. And they don't realize that things get better, or this is temporary.
One 25-year-old from Clarkston is going by S for this interview due to the sensitive nature of her experience. She says she remembers feelings of deep, persistent sadness starting at a young age.
None of my family could understand why. Most of them didn't believe me.
S says she was about 12 years old the first time she attempted suicide. She went to therapy for a few years, but was pulled out by a family member.
I don't really know if they believe in mental health issues. So they just grew up in a totally different generation where this just wasn't a thing.
She still struggles with feelings of shame and guilt related to her attempts.
People say that people that kill themselves are weak. And it's not that I'm weak. It's that I'm tired of being strong.
Anne-Marie Reidinger is a crisis program manager at Quality Behavioral Health in Clarkston. She says usually an accumulation of stressors leads to a person attempting suicide.
When people have chronic pain, loss of a job, or loss of a relationship, when there's family history of suicide, so all of those are really big risk factors.
Charles says depression and suicidal ideation are an illness and need to be treated like one.
Suicidal ideation and behavior is like a cancer. It slowly eats away till they are in so much pain they cannot deal with it. It's not a selfish act. It's an act of desperation.
Reidinger recommends that people who struggle with their mental health create a safety plan. That might start with a list of three stressors, followed by three coping skills to ground yourself. Things like taking a walk, eating a piece of chocolate, or holding an ice cube.
And then having on there three supports. And so it's really good to have like a professional support on there, like 988, and then like their support system.
Experts say removing a person's means for suicide or making it harder to access can greatly reduce a person's risk. They also say just talking with someone can make a big difference. S says in high school, counselors and teachers provided a lifeline during difficult times.
I just try to show I care.
That's Paige Frazier, one of S's former teachers.
If a kid wants me to listen to a song, I make sure I've listened to it so I can visit with them the next day. Mm-hmm. If they want me to read a book, I try to have it read over the weekend so I could then discuss it to create this rapport that I care about them.
Nationally, the 988 Suicide and Crisis Lifeline offers 24/7 crisis support. In Clarkston, Washington, I'm Rachel Sun.
You are listening to news from KMUN. To hear us on the air and catch national news from NPR, tune in to 91.9 FM. Morning news begins at 7:59 every weekday. And of course, you will always be able to find today's local and regional news here at KMUN.org. To contact the KMUN News Department, email us at news1@KMUN.org. That's news, the numeral one, at kmun.org.